Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. You know, folks, as you know, I think we celebrated recently our 10th anniversary, and we're still celebrating. We just can't get enough of it. We're still so happy about being rocking and rolling after all these years, and us being this little fish in this big sea of sharks out there. And but we're working hard for you. And one of the cool things, though, is that we've been able to do over the years is to accumulate an incredible community of experts, our Brain Trust members. And some of these folks that you've heard on my show go way back with us, all the way back to the first year. And one of those guys is our good friend Pat Weber. And Pat is a very smart lady. She's been with us since April of 98. So she's coming up on her 10th anniversary with us as a member of our Brain Trust. She's America's number one sales coach for introverts. She works with people who are unlikely salespeople in terms of maybe their personality and their profession, but they know that if they're going to be successful in this marketplace in the 21st century, they have to learn how to sell. And she helps them with that. And that might be you. So hang on, you're gonna enjoy what Pat has to say. She's our good friend, Pat Weber. Welcome back to the show.
You know, I am so glad to be here this morning, Jim, because it's great to wake up talking with the smartest man in the world, other than my husband.
You know, now, folks, now you know why Pat gets invited back over and over and over again. It's good to have
it's
you back,
to
Pat.
Be here.
You know, Pat, one of the things that I know you wanted to talk about is a topic that I actually have enjoyed talking about for many years. In fact, long before I started doing my radio show, I was talking about this topic when I used to be a sales trainer full time and used to train people when I worked for corporations. When I trained younger salespeople, new salespeople, I would talk about this a lot. And that is, what do you do? How do you deal with people? What do you wind up doing with people that are prospects, but you just don't like them? Mm-hmm. They're just not nice people. They're not friendly. They're irritable. They're grumpy. Maybe they're even a little almost abusive. They're although it's all over the scale of I don't like them. It could be anywhere from I just don't like the way they dress to, you know, they're really hateful people. What do you do about those people? Do you suck it up and keep going?
Or do you
go in another direction?
I think it could also be all those things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
When I was an employee and a salesperson, I don't know why. It seems to me the decision was a lot easier, because I remember one time in my computer career, there was a prospect walked in, and I just happened to get to the sales floor before anybody. I always did. And as soon as the door opened, I didn't care really who it was. I just went and greeted them. But this fellow was, you could smell the alcohol on his breath.
Oh,
and
no.
I just said to my boss, I went in after I talked to him, I said, somebody else needs to work with this gentleman because he's not a gentleman. He comes in here, and I know he's been drinking, and I'm not working with him. That, I don't know why. Maybe it was the situation,
yeah.
But maybe it was I was an employee and I just, you know, moved away from that. But then, just recently, I'm working with a potential couple prospect who, actually, the woman is an extrovert, and a lot of my clients are extroverts who just are reluctant to do some part of the sales process. And her husband is an introvert, and actually, we were all getting along fine until I gave this metaphor that this the woman totally disagreed with.
What was the metaphor? I can't wait to. We need to hear the metaphor.
Well, they're having a hard time attracting their perfect client. And I happened to, about 3 or 4 years ago, buy a book called Attracting Perfect Customers. This is a great book. I know that your heroes, the listeners today, would love to read this book. It's by Stacy Hall.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a co-author, but that's the
okay.
woman's name. And it's kind of likening attracting perfect customers with you, the business owner, being a lighthouse. Mm. And imagine if the lighthouse were running up and down the coast. What would happen to the boat? What would happen to them?
And she didn't like that analogy.
No. Oh, my gosh, she went off on me.
Wow. Hang on, folks. Talk about a cliffhanger. We're going to be right back with our good friend Pat Weber. I know you're not going to want to miss why this woman got so upset about a lighthouse and getting this exercise. 20 tails, stay with us.
We skip the light fandango.
Only you.
Hi, Jim. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, author of Talk Is Not Cheap at TalkListen.com. Congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Way to go, Jim. You did not stop at dreaming. You did it.
We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. We're visiting with our good friend Pat Weber. And Pat's talking to us about what do you do when you find yourself in front of a customer, prospect, somebody you're working with, you're trying to sell. Maybe you thought you would try to sell, and you find out that you're just not into them, as that book says. Remember that book, Pat, where somebody wrote for women when, what he's just not that into you. So what do you do when you're just not into this to this prospect, and folks, Pat was telling us about a couple that she was trying to work with. And she tried to use a metaphor that would try to explain, maybe get them to look inward, look a little bit, do a little introspection, a little self-analysis, and see if there was something that they could help her with that would help her help them. And of course, you know, dummy me, I had to ask what the metaphor was. And so Pat told us, and that's the now we have a lighthouse running up and down the beach, and all the ships are crashing, right?
That's right. That's the whole point of that book, Attracting Perfect Customers. If you were like a lighthouse, wouldn't you be standing on the beach? Wouldn't you always be beaming out the same thing, which, you know, in business is your brand? What's your brand, no matter what it is or who you are?
The way I've always said the lighthouse metaphor is this. I've always said the cardinal sin of selling is when you confuse your customers.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot, folks, that's... You cannot confuse your customers. That's the cardinal sin of selling.
So don't you think that the lighthouse or...
Excellent metaphor. Excellent metaphor. But the lady didn't like this.
No.
She had a bee in her bonnet about this, right?
But her husband really, he got it. You know, he said, I think what you're talking about, Pat, is our brand is confusing. We don't know who we are, so how can our customers...
But she didn't like that idea. She disagreed with that, right?
I constantly had to be rebuilding rapport during the hour. I actually stayed a little longer than I normally do, an hour and a half. And I left, and I thought, you know, this could be a fabulous couple to work with because they are at the brink of being very successful. But I slept on it, and then I was talking with my husband about it this morning. You know, he's also the smartest man in the world.
Uh-huh,
I don't know how that works. But I said, you know, and I went through the whole thing. And I said, so you know what? I think I've just decided this by talking it out loud. I don't think I'm going to follow up with it. And it's not because I'm reluctant to sell them. It's that they didn't make the whole thing feel right for me. And if it's not going to be fun, if I'm not going to enjoy them as a customer, then... What is the point, really? I'll just let that go and thank them for their time and move on.
Let me tell you about that point in my life that I first met someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably only about 19 years old. I was selling furniture, working my way through college on commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her. I don't exactly remember the person. I just remember the interaction. And it was a guy, and I could tell that I didn't like the guy, and he apparently didn't like me, but I got the feeling that he didn't like anybody. We had our little time together, and I don't even remember if I sold him or not. But I remember after he left, I remember thinking, okay, you know, I hope that guy doesn't come back. I'm not going to do, you know, I don't want to wait on that guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, you know, I don't like being around people like that. This is not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to myself, wait a minute, you got to get through college. You got to make a living. And so I said, you know, if you're going to be successful selling, you're going to have to learn how to deal with every kind of person, not just the people who you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I made it a new project for me was to, whenever I met someone who was difficult, I took them on as a project.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved them up. And I tried to find out what it was that they were unhappy about. I tried to, you know, I didn't try to analyze them or anything like that or change them. I just tried to be what they needed me to be in order to get what my company offered.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Over the years, here's what I found. Those people who were the most difficult, once I won them over, and sometimes it took a long time and sometimes it didn't, once I won them over, I couldn't run them off after that.
Mm-hmm.
They were my best customer and my best cheerleader.
Well, and that's another way to approach selling in that situation. I would wonder what would happen if you fast forwarded that now.
Well, that's a good point because see, and I think that's where we are, because in those days I didn't have an option.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next few decades, that has served me well my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But in your case, you don't have to have these people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, you know what, I'm only looking for happy things in my life, not unhappy things.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame you. I don't blame you if you choose not to work with people. I've actually refused to work with people in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I do think that you gotta have in there somewhere the part about how difficult people can become your best customers.
Yeah, that's very true.
Once you win them over once, you don't have to keep selling them.
Yes, definitely. So it's definitely a way that you could go in and look at it as, like you said, a project for yourself.
Right. Right. So
like
when
that.
We come back, I'm going to get Pat to tell us why women are tougher on women. You want to do that, Pat?
I have no idea.
20, no, it's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll have some fun when we come back with Pat Weber. She's the author of Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage. How good it
feels. Everybody, everybody, everybody's had a broken heart now.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, visiting with our good friend Pat Weber. Pat's the author of Sales Skills for an Unfair Advantage. And Pat, I actually have my own version of this in this original form that I'm so happy about. It's one of the keepsakes of my collection, my book collection, Pat. It is. I'm serious. I mean,
I really am complimented by that.
I'm serious.
Thank
about
you.
Hey, listen, it's been almost 10 years and I still have it. It's a little bitty book.
Yes.
How in the world did we not lose this? It's obviously something that means something to me.
Thank you so much.
But now it's not available in paper anymore. It's only available electronically, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they can get that at what website?
Well, if they go to introvertscansucceedatsales.com, introvertscansucceedatsales.com.
Why didn't you get a long website?
Actually, my webmaster said that, too. You have the longest name of the website.
Introverts can succeed.
I got tired of prostrategies.com. Come on.
Introverts can succeed at sales.com.
Right now, I have this great holiday gift for people who ask for that. It's a 2008 coaching calendar with 52 coaching questions, one for every week.
Is your picture on the calendar?
No,
Oh, come on, Pat. We got to get your picture up there.
My picture's all over my website,
okay.
Jim.
All right. All right.
Introverts10succeed@sales.com. That's easy to remember, isn't it?
There you go. Now, okay, let's come back. I want to come back.
You're going to tell me why women are so hard on each
other. I don't know why women are harder on each other, but they are, aren't they? Don't you think women are harder on each other than they are on men?
I love that question. It's had me really pondering about the whole thing.
And what do you think?
I'm not a psychologist or anything. I just wonder if it has to do with... I really believe that women are more powerful than men. I'll never forget.
Oh, really? A
woman's
friend of
mine.
You can't just throw that out there. You got to.
I'm going to back it up. A friend of mine once said, "Imagine this, Pat. Why do men go to war? To keep their family and women safe."
Yeah.
And she went through a lot of analogies like that. That to me said, yeah. Women, you know, like, why do men usually fight over women that they love? It's the woman who's the common denominator.
Yeah.
So maybe women among each other have this power struggle going on.
Yeah.
I think that
may be what happened with the lady that you, the lady in the couple who you didn't click with, because you said she was an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're clearly an extrovert. So you know, maybe you were a little bit of a threat to her.
See, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
That is a possibility. And
but
and
see, I think whenever you fight, if you're really going to be successful, if you are going to be in a position where you want to be able to serve everyone, I think you got to be a little bit of a chameleon. See, I can be an extrovert or an introvert.
Yes. Right. And I remember the chameleon thing comes up a lot with managers and even small business owners who have, you know, many employees, and they have to be many things to many people. And you get to learn that over time. But you can also, over time, get to learn that you don't have to be a chameleon if you don't want to. And I think that is a point in life when you can just kind of let go of that and be okay with it too.
Well, one thing for sure, and I've told all my employees this, I've always told them this, you never ever have to take any kind of abuse from a customer. I used the term abuse a minute ago, and I used it lightly, not strictly.
Mm-hmm.
But you never have to take, if someone's using profanity,
mm-hmm.
if someone is drinking, as you said, if they've got alcohol, if they're drugged up or whatever, anybody who's saying or acting in a way that is not like most people are supposed to act in the marketplace, you don't have to wait on those people. And that's what I tell my employees. If somebody starts, if they're not happy, if they're an unhappy customer and they start cussing you or something like that, then you don't have to take that. You just walk away. Just leave them alone.
That's, you know, that's very thoughtful of you with your employees in this time when really people would say you've got to put the customer first.
No,
and that's my point. If it's going to be harmful, hurtful to you, or otherwise not really called for,
nobody has to be abused in the marketplace.
No.
There's too many ways to fix this. Hey, Pat, thanks for being here. Good job today, again, as always.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great day.
Happy holidays. See you next time.
Merry
Pat
Christmas.
Weber, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.